Amen. Well, hey, I'm not making this up, and this is an actual stat that I came across, but did you guys realize that they say that women actually live longer than men? Have you seen that? I'm not making it up. It's not some crazy meme. In fact, I kid you not, Ruth, listen to this. I came across one that said this: everywhere in the world, women tend to live longer than men, not just in America. So apparently it's some sort of universal truth. Okay, ladies, somehow you always seem to outdo us. Now, with my exciting investigative skills and being a researcher and all, I think I found out the reason why women live longer than men. Let's see if we can guess what that answer is. Let's take a look here. Alrighty, mystery solved. I think we all know why. It's a universal truth. We guys can do some pretty dumb things, right? But we're guys. That's what we do. We specialize in that. But folks, believe it or not, as dangerous as those things were, believe it or not, and dare I say even dumb, believe it or not, I found something, with all due respect, even dumber, more dangerous than that, okay? And it's this universal truth, okay, that the Bible's very clear about. It's when not just men, but even men and women refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior now, because what that means, here's the danger, you are getting ready to head into the seven-year tribulation, and that's not a joke. Why would you do that? That's crazy, okay, especially when you don't have to. The Bible says that period is an outpouring of God's wrath on this wicked and rebellious planet. In fact, it's so horrible that Jesus said unless God shortened that time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. He said it is the worst time in the history of mankind. How many guys would say that if you had an opportunity to escape that, it might be smart to do so? And that's how you can, through Jesus Christ, okay? And that's why we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. Signs that the seven-year tribulation is getting close, so we're not caught off guard, okay? Now, as you can see, we saw the first sign that we've been taking a look. How do you know the seven-year tribulation is getting close? Pay attention to the Jewish people, okay? We dealt with that for 20 weeks. And then the last seven times we saw the second sign was modern technology and the AI invasion. Now, so far, we've seen the first five future prophecies concerning the rise of modern technology, and yes, believe it or not, Lord willing, we'll get there, unless the rapture happens. The rise of artificial intelligence, even recently, has everything to do with Bible prophecy. But so far, we've seen modern technology. It's a sign we're in the last days. How? Well, the increase of travel. We dealt with that for three messages in a row. Then we saw the increase of communication in our lifetime that we take for granted. Speaking of which, the increase of distribution across the planet. Then we saw the increase of electronic transactions, a cashless society. And then if you were here last time, we saw even the issue of the increase of electronic markings. And there we saw that it's for the first time in man's history, the type of technology needed to pull off the mark of the beast mentioned nearly 2,000 years ago in the book of Revelation, where the Antichrist and the false prophet, what do? Amongst many things, as we're going to see again today, they are controlling all the buying and selling on the whole planet. Right? This was written nearly 2,000 years ago. And what we saw was for the first time in man's history, the technology is already here. It's not coming. It's already here. Then the willingness is here. People are lining up to get some sort of tracking device, a microchip implant, either in or on their bodies. And what does it do? It not only tracks them. We'll see that again today. But it stores and receives information. And what's it do? It makes financial transactions. That's not just coming. It's already here. People are willing. And as you can see, the propaganda is here. Right? See, because you're thinking, oh, it's just those fringe people, you know, who are wanting to, into body art and all that. No! Okay? They're using propaganda, even you and I here in the U.S., okay, to think that everybody should get a microchip in their body. And we saw that with, remember that? They're in the news right now saying we need to microchip those bad guys, the prisoners, right? Against their will, okay? The whole medical industry. We need to chip those Alzheimer's patients. We need to chip your kids so they'll never get lost. And hey, we got Hollywood like Brooke Shields, remember that? Saying, hey, why don't we all just get a microchip? so that we can not only be tracked, so it can not only store and receive information, but hey, it just happens to make financial transactions. And then we saw, remember that last video? The guy who actually is now in the United States of America making payments with his hand, just a wave of his hand. We ever heard that before? Hey, that's right, Ron. You're the anointed man of God. Sit there in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 for you. Okay. Revelation 13, man. How do you get even more clear than that? Okay. It's already here. Now, speaking of being tracked, now we're going to get into the sixth way that modern technology reveals we're living in the last days, and that is electronic monitoring, right? How many guys would say that that's a big eyeball? Praise God, you guys are looking with your eyeball. Okay, and of course, what we're talking about is the classic Bible prophecy issue of the Big Brother society. Again, turn to somebody and say, Big Brother is watching you now. Okay, in a multitude of ways. Okay, but it's not just Big Brother technology. I believe that Big Brother technology on a global basis is exactly what the Antichrist and the false prophet need to do, what we're going to see in the seven-year tribulation. And believe it or not, you not only see that there needs to be a cashless society that's already here, you not only need some sort of a marking technology to tie it all together, that's already here, but these guys are literally, according to Revelation 13, they're going to micromanage the whole planet. Okay, but as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. Let's go back to our text again. There's so much going on in this chapter here. Okay, Revelation 13, we're going to take a look again at verses 11 through 17. The Antichrist and the false prophet, what are they going to be doing in the seven-year tribulation? And watch how they literally micromanage not just a country, not just an area, not just a hemisphere. They micromanage the whole planet. Okay, let's take a look at that. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. But here's what it says. Verse 11, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Again, the false prophet inspired by Satan. Now, he, the false prophet, exercised authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf. And he what? Made, pay attention to the verbs here, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. And because of these signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. And he what? He ordered them, again, another verb, to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak. And what? Cause all who refused to worship the image to what? To be killed. And he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. You may be seated. But again, this is our passage here. There's so much going on. And this time we're going to take a look at another aspect that's going on in this text. And what we see is the false prophet in the last days, in the seven-year tribulation, is not only going to dupe the world into worshiping the Antichrist, but again, notice the verb that are used there. It says there clearly, repeatedly, he's going to make them, okay? He's going to order them. He's going to cause them. He's going to force them to do, in essence, whatever in the world he says that they should do, what he wants them to do. Otherwise, what's the penalty? You will die, okay? Now, what does that imply? Again, the context is what? This is globally, right? Is what's going on here. So this implies you've got to have some sort of a global enforcement, some sort of a global monitoring system to force people, to cause them, to make them, to order them to do. So it's got to be on a global basis. But wait a second, does somebody really have the ability? Do two guys, in essence, the Antichrist and the false prophet, really have the ability to micromanage the planet? To know what everybody's doing at any time, so when they give the order, it can not only go out to every single person, but then when they resist, they know where they're at, they know what they're doing, they know when they resist, and they could take them out. Yeah, that's the premise of a Big Brother society. That is not just coming, it's already being developed. And Lord willing, the next couple studies, we're going to deal with that in great detail. But what we're going to see today, the first type of Big Brother surveillance system that's already put in place, it's not coming, it's already here, is the information system, okay? And this is needed because this is what gives you details about every single person around the planet, including what you think they might do. We'll get to that in a second. And folks, again, this is not coming, it's already here. Whether you realize it or not, folks, when it comes to information systems, i.e. massive databases of information on you and I that listen literally identifies who we are, literally every little detail about us. They're already here. In fact, they're so big and so plentiful, they're not even called databases anymore. They're called mega databases. Huge, massive databases, okay? Now, they're all over the place, and they've been in function for decades. And we don't even pay attention to it, okay? And not just from some conspiracy point of view. I'm talking even secular businesses keep huge, mega databases on you and I. Now, let me give you just one example of hundreds just in the U.S. of these mega database companies, okay, that keeps information on you and I. This one is called Axiom, okay, and they are one of the world's largest databases from a secular business point of view, okay, and they have databases on, they say, estimate 95% of all American households. Did you know that? Most people had no clue. And that's just one of hundreds. But let's take a look at what they are doing as we sit here. Let's take a look at that.
They've been called the Cyberazzi, largely unknown companies that buy and sell personal information on virtually everyone across the country. Data marketing is now a $300 billion industry.
They know more about us than we know about ourselves, and they can actually predict what we'll do in the future with a high degree of accuracy.
There are hundreds of data brokering companies in the U.S. One of the largest is a company called Axiom, based in Little Rock, Arkansas. In case you missed it, this company recorded sales last year of more than $1 billion. This is the first TV interview Axiom's chief executive has ever granted.
So we collect data, and we use that data about people to give them more relevant advertising and help businesses make better decisions about marketing to those people.
The raw data about individual people is run through complex algorithms, tracking purchasing and lifestyle patterns. Then you're grouped into a life stage cluster. There are about 70 different groupings with names like Savvy Singles and Apple Pie Families. It's all perfectly legal, but pinpointing exactly how it's all done and what they have isn't easy.
Do you know the numbers to my bank accounts?
So let me tell you what we know. We collect things like contact information, demographics, and your preferences on things.
Obviously, you caught what I caught. Did you notice how he skipped over that question? Right? And we're just keeping information about your personal preferences, right? Not your bank account. Well, let me just share with you just an idea of what those personal preferences are. Right now, these companies, again, this is just one of hundreds in the U.S., 24 hours a day, they are gathering and storing in these mega databases information on you and I from credit card transactions, yes, our financial details, magazine subscriptions, telephone numbers, real estate records, car registrations, fishing licenses, you name it. And because of that, they provide a complete total profile on you and I, right down to whether or not we own a dog or a cat, we enjoy camping or gourmet cooking, listen, whether we read the Bible or other books, what our occupation is, what car we drive, what videos we watch, how much gas and food we buy, what our favorite vacation spots are, and again, that's just one of hundreds of these kinds of companies storing this kind of information on you and I. And did you see how they put us in those categories? Like, you know, sassy singles or, you know, what are country, whatever, there's another one or something like that. Of course, my category is anti-chicken eater, but whatever, but they put us in categories. Now, also, did you catch the phrase from the one guy, and I'll quote, they know so much about us, they can actually predict what we will do in the future with a high degree of accuracy. And this is all, quote unquote, legal? Most people don't have any clue. That's secular businesses doing that like you and I. But they predict what you'll do in the future with a high degree of accuracy. Don't you think that would come in handy in the 7-year tribulation for some guy when they give out an order to make, to force, the order to cause, you need to worship the Antichrist. And they'll say, this guy probably won't. According to our databases, we need to take him out. And it is going that way. We're going to get to that in a second. But it's estimated right now that each adult in the developed world, not just in the United States, each adult in the developed world is already located on 300 different databases with a huge file. That fake file that they came up with Trump, that fake dossier, what they got on you and I, the average Joe, makes that look like chump change. Okay, this is huge, okay? Big Brother is already here, even in the United States of America, on a huge level, just in time, I believe, to help the Antichrist and the false prophet literally micromanage the planet in the seven-year tribulation, okay? And so the question is, okay, that's bad, that's unfortunate, but it's a good thing that they're the only ones keeping databases on us. Sarcasm. That's right, sir, right there on the second row. I'm counting today. That's right. I use sarcasm to make a point. Are you kidding me? Folks, the governments around the world get in on it. Not just secular businesses, including our own government is keeping massive databases on you and I. Quote, under the guise of national security and terrorist threats, thank you, 9/11. Right, there's a whole issue about what went on with 9/11, what caused 9/11, whatever. But my point is, I remember watching the aftermath of 9/11 and the passage of the so-called Patriot Act, which is not patriotic, number one. And number two, also, out of the blue, within 2 weeks, here comes this giant stack of papers called Homeland Security. Yeah, they whipped that up out of the blue in 2 weeks. No, it was in the background the whole time. And you need an excuse to do that. And it has been an excuse to tap you and I, monitor you and I, under the guise of terrorism, like never before. It has ripped us off of so many of our private freedoms. Unbelievable. But under that guise, they can intercept information on you and I, and they don't just do that. They collect it, and they store it, and they analyze it, including cell phone conversations, emails, faxes, TV viewing, you name it. And we'll get into that technology, Lord willing, later. Now, let me give you just one obvious example of a government institution that right now, as we sit here on top of the secular businesses that store information on you and I, and that, of course, is the NSA, or the National Security Agency. Quote, it is the U.S. intelligence agency responsible for the, listen, global, not just the U.S., global monitoring, collection, and decoding of information on data for foreign intelligence. Now, the problem, again, it's not just foreign intelligence. It's being used on you and I, the average citizen here in America, okay? Now, let me give you again just a teaser of just one of their data centers where they're storing this information on us, about a 5.5-hour drive from us in Utah. It's called the Utah Data Center. And again, this is just one. But look at how big this thing is and how much it stores on you and I. Let's take a look at that.
The biggest U.S. Department of Defense construction project isn't an aircraft carrier or a nuclear missile site. It's a massive data storage facility in Utah. What will be stored there is raising serious questions. CCTV's Jim Spellman has that story.
In a field in Utah, about a half hour south of Salt Lake City, a massive construction project is wrapping up. When it is completed in a few months, it will be the world's largest repository of digital information. Its owners, the U.S. National Security Agency, the NSA. James Bamford has been writing about the NSA for more than 30 years.
All the information will be stored there, and then people at NSA headquarters or at their different listening posts around the world will be able to dip into it.
It's called the Utah Data Center, sprawling more than 450,000 square meters with its own power plant, water pumping station to cool the servers, and intense security. It's a key part of the NSA strategy: gather as much information as possible from as many sources as possible and use it to stop terrorist attacks and create strategic advantages over rival countries.
What this is really about is the ability to take a lot of data and learn things that you otherwise can't. And to do that, you need to throw mountains of information at very powerful computers.
Where the data is coming from is what concerns privacy advocates. So if I make a phone call, send a text message, do a Google search on my phone, that's information that could end up at this data center in Utah?
Oh, definitely, any kind of communication.
The NSA is one of the most secretive agencies in the U.S. government, with little oversight from Congress. Even its budget is not publicly released. So what data is stored here and where it came from will likely never be fully known. But there's no sign the NSA or intelligence agencies in other countries are slowing down this hunt for data and information.
Is this an arms race for data?
Yeah, it's very much an arms race for data.
And this data center in Utah is soon to be the United States' biggest weapon in its information arsenal.
And the NSA won't say exactly how much information the Utah Data Center will be able to hold, but experts say they can expect it to be about a Yoda byte. To put that into perspective, an iPhone can hold 16 gigabytes. The NSA's new facility will be able to hold the same amount of data as 64 trillion iPhones. Laid end-to-end, that number of iPhones could stretch to the moon and back over 10,000 times.
And that's just one facility. What's a yottabyte? What is that, a Star Wars hard drive? What is that? Did you see what I said? Listen, it's not just even the U.S., but this tells you what's going on around the world. It's a global arms race for data. So in other words, obviously, we're not the only country doing this around the world. And again, why would they do this? Well, I'm thinking, you know, the Bible tells us the future. Hey, wouldn't this kind of stuff come in handy on top of the secular businesses? But now even cell phone conversations and whatever you do on the computer, all that's being tracked, you name it. Wouldn't that come in handy if somebody in a horrible time frame that rhymes with a 7-year tribulation wanted to micromanage the planet and know every detail about somebody and hunt them down and find? Wouldn't it come in handy? It's not coming. It's what? It's already here. Okay. And again, folks, I'll just say this. I was pastoring in New York, and I was about, 8 blocks or so from my house. I got a call on my cell phone, and obviously true story, and out of the blue. And this lady, it was a very short conversation, but she said, "Hey, Pastor Billy, I've been seeing some of your videos online, some Big Brother stuff and teachings that I've done in the past." And she said, "I just want to let you know," she said, "I'm a former employee of the NSA." And she said, "I'm a second generation. My dad, you know, was there and got me hired and stuff." And she says, "But I just quit." She says, "I couldn't take it anymore. Seeing and knowing firsthand what is being done, even to the average American citizen." And then she just simply said this, "I just want to let you know you're on the right track." That was a strange phone call. But folks, this is the stuff that's going on. This is not a conspiracy theory issue. This is going on right now. And again, not just in the U.S., all over the world. Every piece of communication is not just being monitored. It's being stored. It's being put in these huge databases beyond our wildest dreams. And the whole time, guess what? Our biggest concern is, "Hey, how's that economy doing, Bob? Huh? Hey, who's going to win that game? What? Are you serious? Somebody posted another sandwich they made on Facebook, right? Hey, that cat's still going on YouTube. Look at him go." And all this is already here, monitoring us, micromanaging the planet. Oh, but see, that's just that which is considered legal. Okay? Apparently, that's not enough. Apparently, they want even more. And believe it or not, they've actually tricked you and I into doing it voluntarily. Did you know that? Right? And you say, "No, we would never do that." Yes, we do. Let me expose that for you. Right? Right now, you are being tracked. If you have a loyalty card, you know, with the things you get at the grocery store, "I got to get that better deal." You know what that thing does? It stores everything you buy. Hello? Why do you think they're giving it to you for free? Credit cards, ATM cards, all of our financial transactions are being tracked. Credit rating agencies, they put you in a category, right? Search engines, and that's right, social media. What? Yeah, because see, we thought it was all about fun and entertainment and keeping in touch with each other and Bill and Diane making that freaky cat video that I will never share that publicly. I can't believe you did that. Folks, I am here to tell you it's all about gathering an unbelievable amount of information on you and I and anything and everything we do, every contact, every person, every little tie we have is being stored and tracked on social media. And I'm talking, of course, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. They are right now. It's not coming. It's already been going on for years. They're building huge, massive databases on us from all of our photos, our friends, our communications, our contacts, everything we could think of, and we give it to them for free. You wonder why the devil's called what? Not just the evil one. He's a liar, but he's also cunning. Now that's cunning, to trick us into giving you a hand built dossier to micromanage us. But that's what it is, folks, okay? And because of that, they know everything about us. I'm talking just social media. I'm not talking the NSA. I'm not talking about the other ones around the world. I'm not talking about the secular businesses. I'm talking just social media. They know, folks, everything about us. Who we are, where we are, what we're doing, who we're hanging out with at any given moment. They're putting it in databases and they're using it against us. Let me give you just an idea, whether you realize it or not, just Facebook. Not the other ones, just Facebook just what they're doing with all this information we're giving to them for free. Let's take a look.
Facebook can take all the data that you submit and combine it with data from other users and outside information to construct a profile of you. Facebook uses nearly 100 different data points to classify your interests and activities. This would include basic stuff like your age and gender, but also more complicated information like whether you own a motorcycle or you recently went on vacation or whether you're a gadget geek. Researchers have found that by using signals such as your likes and interactions, Facebook could tell if you were in a relationship or going through a breakup. Facebook doesn't just know who you are, it also knows where you are. If you have location tracking turned on, Facebook collects an enormous amount of location data about where you're going, where you came from, where you live, where you work, what restaurants and businesses you tend to go to, and they use this information to target ads at you. And location data could reveal other people who live in your house, even if you're not connected to them on Facebook. Now, obviously, Facebook knows what its users buy when they click on ads from Facebook. But what most people don't realize is that they have ways of tracking your offline purchases as well. For many years, Facebook has had partnerships with data brokers that collected information about people's purchases. So, for example, if you buy a burrito with your credit card, Facebook could know about that transaction, match it with a credit card that you've added to Facebook or Facebook Messenger, and start showing you ads for indigestion medicine. One of the most controversial parts of Facebook data collection is a feature called People You May Know. And this is where Facebook uses many different signals of what it knows about you to determine who else you might be connected to. And this is not always things that you shared with Facebook. It might be contacts in your phone. It might be people who have been in the same room as you. Facebook was using location data to recommend friends. So it might have been recommending people who share a doctor with you or work in the same building. Facebook can also be used to compile data about your political activity, like protests or marches you go to. In one case in 2016, the ACLU found that 500 police organizations had signed up for a service called Geofedia, which scraped data from social networks like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to help officers look for users who might be in a specific location or attending a specific protest. Facebook doesn't just know who you are, where you are, and what you buy. It also can be used to figure out what kinds of things you might do in the future, to predict life outcomes, like whether you will be addicted to substances, whether you will switch political parties, whether you're physically healthy or physically unhealthy.
And who? Maybe whether or not you're going to submit to the order to worship the Antichrist in the 7-year tribulation. Don't you see where all this is going? Right? You wonder why I've said it for years. Facebook, I call it Tracebook. That's what all's going on. See, we got snookered, didn't we? It's just to keep in contact with our friends and the kids and the grandkids and post that incredible cheese sandwich. Wow. But you see, you might be out there going, that's finally my day has come. Because people have been calling me a dinosaur. Saying, I need to get with the times. But I'm one of those people, I refuse to get a Facebook account. I will never do it. They can't get me. Ha, 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 ha. Well, actually, they've already got you. I didn't know this until I started researching this. Listen to this. Facebook has actually figured out a way to track you, even if you don't have a Facebook account. Watch how slick they are. Let's watch this one.
What has Facebook been up to, and why does it even affect people not signed on to Facebook? Web developer and surveillance expert Sander Venema joins me via Skype from Zwolle in the Netherlands. Sander, welcome back to Going Underground. So what has Facebook done to trample over European privacy laws?
Well, there was a report that was published by the Belgian Privacy Commissioner about Facebook's tracking behavior, and more specifically the social plugins that they use. And these are the sort of, you know, the like buttons and share buttons that you can see on millions of websites across the internet. And these are loaded in from Facebook's domain name, and that basically places a cookie, Facebook places a cookie on your computer whenever those buttons are loaded in.
So if you press like on one of those like buttons, which doesn't even have to be on a Facebook site. It can be anywhere. It could be asking your ideology or your vote, your political persuasion. It all gets stored on your computer, and this is what the European regulators are worried about.
Actually, before you click like, when that like button is loaded in, so you load up a website, it has the like button on it. Before you even click on it, information went to Facebook, and Facebook then places a uniquely identifying cookie on your computer, which they then subsequently use on all of their other sites with Facebook like buttons to map the sites that you visit, basically, and thereby map your interests.
What? Did you catch that? They figured out a way that we don't even need to have a Facebook account in order to track you and know your likes and dislikes, and then now you can follow you around. If you're on the internet, you don't have to have it. All you have to do is come across a website that has that little Facebook thumb like thing, whatever, on there, which is basically everywhere. You don't even click on it. But as soon as it's there and you go there too, bang, they're tracking you. Now that, I don't remember that coming up in the Senate hearings. Did you guys hear that part? But it's going on, okay? It's all being tracked. Now, again, where am I going with this? I believe all this, not just the secular databases, not just the government databases, and not just in the U.S., but around the world, all these databases are going to come in handy for the Antichrist and false prophet. But I'm telling you, man, even this recent development with social media, it's really going to come in handy. And I see two things that just social media tracking technology is going to help them pull off. And the first way is it's going to prevent you from running and hiding, right? First of all, avoid the seven-year tribulation, not only hell itself, by getting saved today through Jesus Christ. Amen? But if you find yourself in that time frame with this social media technology, you will not be able to run and hide, right? Let's go back to our text again and see what's going on in that time frame. Revelation 13:15, he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be what? To be killed. So what we see here is the penalty for those people. It's bad enough you didn't accept Christ today. Mistake, major mistake, number one. Now you're in the seven-year tribulation as a result, okay? But this is the penalty for those who choose not to worship the Antichrist, to disobey this order in the seven-year tribulation. You are going to die. So the logical question for you and I is, again, this is on a global basis. How are they going to know, two guys, how are they going to know where these people are? How are they going to know that they didn't obey the order? And how are they going to know where they're at? How are they going to be able to give an order and say, he's dead, she's dead, anywhere in the world? Well, can you say, Facebook? You ain't going to be able to run and hide nowhere. Okay, folks, they're not only getting all this information on us from the social media stuff, okay, but did you realize it's called Facebook for a reason? And what's the major thing we do on Facebook? We give them pictures of our faces. And you know what? Because of that, they can find us anywhere in the world. Oops. Watch this.
Science fiction almost got it right. Face recognition technology has become part of daily life, but except instead of controlling security access to top secret spy facilities, the technology is being used to identify the people in that crazy picture from last weekend's beach party. It's all happening, of course, on Facebook, which has been quietly using face recognition software on every photo you upload.
Facebook knows me. It knows my friends. It tracks what I like, where I live. It knows my sisters are Christy and Laura. But now, Facebook also knows, well, my face. My face out of everyone else's. Not just mine. If you're on Facebook, Facebook can recognize your face, too. Here's how. While we've been uploading more than 20 billion photos, Facebook has been making biometric fingerprints of all our mugs. And now, Facebook has a massive collection of our faces, probably the largest collection in the world. Kind of cool. Kind of creepy. Here's how it works. That's our intern, Brenna Williams.
I'm going to upload some photos of myself.
She's one of millions of people who's using this feature already. When Brenna uploads photos, Facebook recognizes her and her friends and says, hey, that's you, right? Most of the time, it is, and tagging becomes almost automated. Face recognition technology has been around for a while, mostly used by police. They even scanned people walking into the Super Bowl and caught 19 criminals. The guys at Face.com in Israel showed us how Facebook's technology works. They are the largest facial recognition company online.
So this is Nick.
And once they had my photo, the computer recognized me no matter where I was, every time.
Which got us at Nightline thinking, could we trick Facebook?
I tried one other way to confuse the computer. We sent that photo to the guys at Face.com. And yup, they recognized me even in my cover-up.
Which just goes to show that a disguise may fool your friends, but it probably won't fool Facebook.
And it certainly won't fool the Antichrist or the false prophet. Can you believe that? Not arm book. Hey, do you have a leg book account? Facebook. Wow, we got duped. But did you catch that one part the guy said? You can't even wear a disguise. They're still going to find you. He said, quote, once they had my photo, the computer recognized me no matter where I was every time. Load up more. Make sure they can find you in a horrible time frame so that you will not be able to run or hide. They'll know where you're at. In fact, listen to this. How many guys saw that Tom Cruise movie way back in the day, Minority Report? I remember that thing, okay, the Big Brother show. And the whole premise was basically everything was monitored to a point. They had so much data on everybody with the technology. You're like a rat no matter where you went, in the store, in the street, in the car, all over the whole place, right? But they basically were able to, quote, predict when you were going to commit a crime. Remember that? With the pre-crime unit and all that kind of weird kind of stuff, okay? Well, believe it or not, folks, thanks to Facebook, they can now predict if you are going to run and hide. Through social media. They're building that crazy Tom Cruise movie reality through social media. So they're not just going to wait for you to run and hide. And then, of course, with all this technology, they're going to find your face in the crowd. Gotcha. You didn't worship the Antichrist. You're going to die. They'll actually even predict with the profile on you, this person is likely to run. Go get them before they even take off. Watch this.
Well, most people are familiar with the plot of the Tom Cruise movie Minority Report, a concept of pre-crime being used to prevent crimes before they happen. Well, there's a new software system attempting to do something very much like that by forecasting the highest risk times and places for future crimes. Accessed through any browser, fixed or mobile, on any internet-enabled device, including tablets, smartphones, laptop, and desktop computers, Beware, that's the name of the program, from Intrado, searches, sorts, and scores billions, with a B, billions of commercial records in a matter of seconds, alerting responders to potentially deadly and dangerous situations while en route to or at the location of a call. Officers already have a lot of this information at their disposal, be it, you know, inside their cruiser, from their laptop, or on a number of different databases. What's unique about this particular technology?
Well, with this, in the past, we've been doing this for years.
Sure.
We've done data collection and intelligence gathering for years, but now we're able to use technology to do it much quicker and have the technology right here at our hand, have the information at our hand where we can react quickly with it in order to be more proactive than reactive like we've been in the past.
I was reading up on Beware today, this particular technology, and one thing that is unique and stood out to me is that the technology is actually scanning, it says, commercial, criminal, and social media information, as well as any, quote, comments that could be construed as offensive in order to be able to determine a threat score. And then each suspect, I guess, if you want to call them that police are responding to, is assessed through this technology a threat score on different levels, green, yellow, and red, based on comments they've made. And the algorithm's telling you not just that a crime could exist, but it's actually telling you who's going to commit that crime.
That is correct. It's trying to forecast based on maybe your past behavior or what is seen in your social media, and that change of behavior, changing the things you're posting about, and then they say maybe this person is going to perpetrate a crime in the future. And then they want prevention from the police officer.
Meaning, then they're going to round you up based on all this information we're giving them. Aren't you glad you've been putting up all those political advertisements and standing for Christ and being Christian? Is this wild? Folks, this is not coming. It's what? It's already here on a global basis. You don't think this has anything to do with what's going to go on in the 7-year tribulation? I'm convinced. It's exactly what they need to round up people who say, no, I'm not going to worship the Antichrist. And now it's gotten so sophisticated, mystery solved, right? If you try to run and hide, you can't run and hide because it'll recognize you anywhere you go. In fact, it's so sophisticated now, we give them so much, they'll say, you know what? This person's probably going to take off in about 3 hours. Go get him now. It's going to be a huge, huge time of slaughter. Just in the first half of the 7-year tribulation, the Bible is clear, 1/4 of the planet is annihilated. Do you realize that if that were to happen today, that's nearly 2 billion people. In the second half, another 1/3 of the planet is annihilated. The time of the 7-year tribulation is a time of great slaughter. And that's not even counting the unfortunate second Jewish Holocaust that's coming. 2/3 of those people are going to try to run and hide. Jesus warned about that in Matthew 24. I wonder why only 1/3 was able to escape. Wow. How in the world are you going to find people all over the planet who refuse to worship the Antichrist? And how are you going to find those resistors? And how are you going to specifically take them out? This stuff gives them the ability, and we're giving it to them freely. But that's just the first part. The second way social media technology, I believe, is helping the Antichrist and false prophet fulfill what they're going to do in the 7-year tribulation is, you know what? It's the other half. You can't buy and sell. Let's read the next two verses. That's clearly what they do on a global basis. Revelation 13, 16 through 17. And he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had that mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, the first one, we saw the penalty for those who are going to say, no, I'm not going to worship the Antichrist. You're going to die, right? You ain't going to be able to run and hide. You're going to die, right? Again, what's the point? Get saved today before the 7-year tribulation through Jesus Christ and escape the whole thing. Right? But here we see the penalty for those who choose not only to not worship the Antichrist, but who choose to not receive the mark of the Antichrist. And it clearly says that you are, in essence, going to be, quote, shut out of the system. Economically, you are going to be shut out. You will not be able to buy and sell. Okay, it says that they're right, plain as day. But again, that's the question for you and I today, right? Put it in our shoes on a global basis. How are you going to shut anybody out anywhere on the planet of this economic system that you built? And we saw they already have it. Remember with the cashless society? They've already got a global system controlling the economies. They're building that system to tie every person, every product together. It's all cashless. It's moved to a marketing system. So they've got that infrastructure. But how are you going to pull the trigger when somebody says, no, I'm not going to receive the mark of the Antichrist? How are you going to practically shut them out of the system? Can you say Facebook? Folks, I'm telling you, folks, I've been warning about this for several years, right? Did you know that they're using social media right now, okay, to not just know who we are, where we are, who we're hanging out with, what we're doing, but did you know they've been, for years now, been using social media, including Facebook, to determine whether or not you get that job? You know, why is that important? Because you need a job if you're going to buy and sell. But social media is now becoming the determining factor. Do you get it or do you not? Watch this.
We live in an information age, and many people post comments and photos daily on social media. If that's you or someone you know, you should know about a new survey.
Yes, 60% of employers say they check a person's social media background before hiring, and what you post could prevent you from getting a job. Pat Foran has the story on Consumer Alert.
The new survey from CareerBuilder found that 60% of employers will not hire someone until they research how they appear on social media sites like Facebook and Twitter. The findings are similar to a recent study by Workopolis, Canada's largest online job board that connects companies and job seekers. Marcia Ford says many people don't realize what they put on the web is often there for everyone to see.
You would be surprised at the number of people who don't put the restrictions high on their Facebook profile, allowing almost anybody to see the details of their social media life.
Workopolis found 63% of companies checked social media before hiring, and 48% of companies saw something that caused them not to hire a person. The reasons were posts about excessive drinking or drug use, profanities, racist or sexist comments, suggestive provocative photos, and negative comments about previous employers. Always think before you post.
Be professional today. Be mindful of what you're posting, because it will have an impact on your career if you don't.
And many employers are turned off by a person if they look angry in their profile picture. They're more receptive to someone who appears kind and smiling. So a picture is not just worth a thousand words. It could help you get a job, too.
Wow. Turns to somebody and say, I need a job. I'm happy. I'm always happy. Can you believe that? Folks, I'm telling you, I see even Christians, you know, on some of their threads. This job is horrible. These employers are goofballs. And of course, I'm being kind. I'm going, don't you realize? No wonder you don't ever get a better job, because the first thing the employer does is go back and look at your thread. And I even do this actually in ministry. You know, I get those people, Pastor Billy, you're crazy. Well, I've got this new theory as to why I figured out that the Antichrist is going to be riding a spaceship based on Matthew blah, blah, blah. And it mentions in the Gospels there's 153 fish they caught in the net. That really is symbolic of the mark of the beast, because the one and the five, you add them together, is six. And then there's a three that follows. So that's 666. Obviously, that's the Antichrist. And you need to listen to me. Excuse me. And they act so spiritual. If only you knew what I knew, because I'm just so in tune with Jesus. And really, I go to their thread. And then you know what I do? I don't even look at the thread. I scroll down. I'm going, what movies do you watch? What music listen to? And it's like, bleh. But I'm not the only one doing it, folks. Employer's been doing it for a long time. Want to get a job? Might want to clean it up. Because they're looking at it. But again, that's crazy. They're using what? They're using social media to determine what? Whether or not we could, she said, be careful. It might affect your future, your job. You know, and again, a job is what? What you need to buy and sell. Okay? And I got to think, well, wait a second. In the previous one about running and hiding, did you see where they actually give us a threat score? Right? Based on that? I mean, so you put it together with this one about determining our employment, about what we can buy and sell. I mean, what's next? We not only get a threat score with all this social media database they're keeping on us. I mean, what's next? We get a social score to determine whether or not we can even buy and sell. It's actually already happened in China. China has put in a new social score for all their citizens, and based on their behavior that they're tracking, that they deem good or bad, will determine whether or not you can buy and sell. In China, right now, watch this.
By 2020, China plans to give all of its 1.4 billion citizens a personal score based on how they behave. So some people with low scores are already being pushed if they want, already being punished, rather, if they want to travel. Nearly 11 million Chinese people can no longer fly, and 4 million are barred from trains. Next week, the program will start expanding nationwide. Ben Tracy is in China with what's behind the government scoring system. Ben, this sounds like scary stuff. Good morning.
Good morning. The government here says it is trying to purify society by rewarding those who are trustworthy and punishing those who are not. So like the credit score that most Americans get for how they handle their finances, Chinese citizens are now getting social credit scores based on everything from whether they pay their taxes on time to how they cross the street. When Liu Hu recently tried to book a flight, he was told he was banned from flying because he's on the list of untrustworthy people. Liu was a journalist who was ordered by a court to apologize for a series of tweets he wrote and was then told his apology was insincere. I can't buy property. My child can't go to private school, he says. You feel you're being controlled by the list all the time. And the list is now getting longer.
as every Chinese citizen is being assigned a social credit score, a fluctuating rating based on a range of behaviors. It's believed that community service and buying Chinese-made products can raise your score. Fraud, tax evasion, and smoking in non-smoking areas can drop it. If a score gets too low, a person can be banned from buying plane and train tickets, real estate, cars, and even high-speed internet.
Now, there are upsides for people the Chinese government considers trustworthy. They can actually get better interest rates at banks, they can get discounts on their energy bills, and China's largest online dating site reportedly even boosts the profiles of people with high social credit scores.
Wow. Ryan, so if I just do what some authoritarian government system tells me to do, then I could get a boosted post and I can get not just a spouse, but an extra super duper spouse. Oh, not to mention, they will give me permission to buy or sell a car, a house, have a bank account, get to fly, get to go anywhere. Not coming. Already here. And where is this being done? In a country that's not only communistic and authoritarian on a massive scale, but it's big. The most populated country on the planet is already launching this system. You think it's by chance? No way. I believe China is a huge testing ground for this kind of system that I believe is going to go global in the seven-year tribulation. Folks, you stir all this together and it looks to me like we really do have, for the first time in 2,000 years in man's history, the ability right now, not coming, for one man and his evil cohort to not only monitor everything and everyone on the planet, but to force them, to order them, to cause them, to make them to do whatever in the world they're going to see, do, or otherwise they're going to hunt you down, you can't run and hide, you're going to die, or they're going to shut you out of some economic system, and you won't be able to buy and sell. And they'll even know when you're going to do it before you even do it. No wonder Jesus said to avoid that time frame. It's the worst time, he said, in the history of mankind. But he also said, when these things begin to take place, what do you do, church?
I'm never going to post a cheese sandwich again, Pastor Billy, I promise.
That's not the point. The point is, hey, woo, rapture's getting close. We don't know the day nor the hour. Man, this has got to be getting close. Amen? That's the best case scenario. Lift up your head. Your redemption draws near. Praise God. Jesus Christ is coming back to get us. Amen? Okay, that's the best case scenario. Okay, but that means we got a mission on hand. We are called to lovingly share the gospel to as many as we can because we see what's coming. And warn them to take the one and only way out through Jesus Christ. Amen? But if you're here, I don't know your heart, but God does. If you're not saved, you can fool me. You can't fool him. You need to get saved right now. You need to understand that the reason why God has you here is because he's trying to reach into your heart. God is not willing that any should perish. He wants you to be saved. You don't have to not only go to hell, you don't have to go to the seven-year tribulation. You can escape his wrath to come if you take the one and only way out through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. Why? Because God is holy. We are not. The wages of our unholiness or sin is death. We all deserve, myself included, we deserve to die and go straight to hell. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He took the death penalty in our place. And since we weren't there, and since it's a gift from God, and he did all the work, we have to take it by faith. Common sense. But if you would just do that, the Bible says, acknowledge that God, you are holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified, I can't get to heaven on my own, but I heard about your love through Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe, God, that you raised him from the grave. He's my Lord. He is my Savior. Save me, God. Rescue me. Forgive me. The Bible says you will be saved. Do that today before it's too late. Amen?
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you would confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.